Today's episode of the Watson Weekly Podcast is sponsored by Commerce Tools.
Make sure your brand and your business is ready for the trillion-dollar e-commerce market. Commerce Tools, the global leader in commerce and creator of the powerfully composable Mach architecture, can help you achieve bite-sized wins or upsized achievements faster than ever. Whether you are looking to reduce maintenance costs for legacy systems or put the power of AI to work for you quickly, Commerce Tools is your partner for commerce success. Go to commercetools.com to learn how to get started.
It's April 15th, 2024, and this is the Watson Weekly, your essential e-commerce digest. Today on our show, Allbirds gets NASDAQ delisting warning, revenue and profit at TikTok's ownership growing, Andy Jassy releases annual shareholder letter, and inventory and cash flow key to the future of retail. And finally, the Investor Minute, which contains five items this week from the world of venture capital, acquisitions, and IPOs. But first, in our shopping cart full of news, Allbirds gets NASDAQ delisting warning. This story is in the pour out some liquor department. For years, I wore Allbirds because they were comfortable and interesting. They were never really the coolest shoe, but they had a niche in the market. And somewhere along the way, Allbirds lost its way. First, it seems like they got out of their lane. They manufactured a whole bunch of wool, apparently see-through leggings in 2021, and they had to discontinue that product a year later because it didn't work. The company's sustainability message failed to catch on in the long term as some of the materials caused product quality issues, which diminished the brand value. As the company tried to appeal to a broader set of runners, other companies like Hoka and On beat them with technical features and reliability at the same time and became their own movement. On the other hand, Allbirds, pretty much everything they did after they created their first main shoe, did not spin into gold. They tried to go after too many customers with too many product lines, all without a new hit product. Meanwhile, their existing product had quality issues. In an industry where you need hits to survive, this is a recipe for disaster. A company with confused messaging and struggling with cash flow who's also holding a lot of inventory that didn't sell sounds like a warning to other hot brands, if you ask me. So where does the company go from here? Well, in my mind, don't be surprised if Allbirds is in the next year is going to join the ranks of waiting arms of brand licensing firms like ABG and WHP Global. Those firms love to capitalize after years of other people's brand equity and then create international collabs and line extensions to drive value. If that happens, don't be surprised if Allbirds loses its sustainability edge entirely and becomes just another shoe brand. Our second story. Revenue and profit at TikTok's ownership growing. An article out of Bloomberg, I believe, is a story worth watching from TikTok's parent company, ByteDance. The report is that ByteDance experienced a lot of growth in 2023 and a 60% jump in profit. In fact, compared to a 2022 profit of $25 billion, their profits rose to $40 billion in 2023. This is on sales of $120 billion. That's some serious operating profit if those numbers are correct. On the back of this, the question is really, what does TikTok do next? Well, the reports here are interesting too. The company previously set out to create a $17.5 billion business this year with TikTok shops. And while a lot of that is going to be cheap schlock that you often find on TikTok, there's going to be some legit brands who figure out how to do business here as well. Despite all this, when it comes to TikTok, the question of the moment is, will they be allowed to stay in the US market at all? And who the heck knows is the answer to that question? I can't read the political tea leaves better than anyone else. But if you want to bet on the United States Congress actually getting something done, you can pretty much make a living always betting the under. If the Congress wants reforms, chances are ByteDance is willing to share interest with TikTok and with foreign investors in exchange for staying power in important markets like North America. Even for the US, there is simply too much money to ignore by allowing them to stay in the market. And as a social media platform, it's not like they're dumping as much products as Temu or Shein, so it'd be kind of nonsensical for them, from that point of view, to only ban them. If you follow the money, chances are TikTok is going to stick around, is my bet, if someone forced me to make a call on this. Our third story, Amazon releases annual shareholder letter. Amazon CEO Andy Jassy recently released the company's annual letter to shareholders. There were a number of interesting and exciting topics to unpack here. First is an increasing focus on lower average selling price items. It's well known that in the first party and third party businesses, Amazon over the last decade has culled its catalog to remove items where it can't realize a profit or crap, whether that product is offered from the merchant or Amazon itself. It's clear that Amazon is thinking about the opposite way now. How can we be structurally profitable for more items? From my view, Amazon saw the potential threat from cheap items from Asia, and it drew a straight line from there to transportation costs. And that straight line continued from a national fulfillment center to a regionalized one. And that straight line continues further from a regionalized center to doubling its same-day facilities. And a few stats here. In the last year, same-day overnight items increased 70% year over year. They consider this the key to everyday essentials growing 20%, which is one of the largest growing segments. Lookout Corner Store and Lookout Neighborhood Pharmacies. All of this putting products closer has also reduced their cost to serve by 45 cents per unit year over year. It strikes me that Amazon is continuing to focus on this and you haven't heard the last of it. Cost to serve and lower ASP items are called out explicitly in the letter. And you know what? I hadn't seen Amazon mention cost to serve in an annual letter before. I think there's a clear reason why. And Amazon is worried about getting what I called reverse flywheeled in the next few years and is taking steps to get ahead of this trend in the last few years. A reverse flywheel might have been something like Amazon's cost to serve is too high, and as a result, Amazon removes or craps out those items that can't serve profitably. Those items then migrate to Chinese marketplace directly that are serving US consumers. Consumers follow, and then Chinese marketplaces now go upmarket because they have the consumer now too. I kind of feel like Amazon is trying to fix the root cause here, and they determined that an important multi-year priority was reducing that cost to serve, and 2023 was the first year, not the last, where they saw the fruits of their labor. Reducing their cost to serve and improving same-day logistics also helps with a few other goals. In particular, the growth in free cash flow and operating margin. Operating income in 2023 improved 201% year over year from $12.2 billion, or an operating margin of 2.4%, to $36.9 billion, or an operating margin of 6.4%. Amazon is also rethinking grocery, and I noticed that grocery finally got a mention with a thought-provoking question. Quote, what if we used our same-day facilities to enable customers to easily add milk, eggs, or other perishable items to any Amazon order and get it same day? It might change how people think about splitting up their weekly grocery shopping and make perishable shopping as convenient as non-perishable shopping already is. It still doesn't solve Amazon Fresh stores themselves, but to understand that Amazon is thinking hard about perishables in addition to Temu and Shein, we'll talk about this more later. And finally, if you follow Amazon Web Services, it's built on a core set of developer primitives. Jassy thinks about all of Amazon this way, and there's more here too. Overall, the shareholder letter revealed a lot of interesting priorities from Amazon and makes sense for us to keep following this. And our last story. Inventory and cash flow is the key to the future of retail. The more e-commerce businesses I see, the more patterns I see. And lately, the pattern has been about inventory and cash. But more specifically, it's about survival. How you use cash and turn inventory is changing in e-commerce and rapidly. The game used to be about distribution. Get inventory close to the customer and then figure out how to sell it. That works for extremely high demand products, but very few can execute this reliably. For everyone else, we must adjust. And if you go all the way back to the beginning of the PC revolution 40 years ago, a company named Dell was founded in 1984 in a dorm room in Austin, Texas, on a very simple idea. Keep inventory nearby, but don't own it. Instead, assemble to order and ship it direct only once after assembly, right to the consumer's doorstep. In 2024, e-commerce is going to the same simple idea. Keep raw materials nearby, but don't use them until there is demand. Instead, manufacture as few pieces as possible for the actual demand and ship it right to the consumer's doorstep one time. If this model works in your category, I'm here to tell you your category is already going there. Margins will demand it. The buckets below that I'm going to talk about are not all or nothing, so you will need to discover which and where each will apply in your product line. Every merchant must find pockets that operate in options 1 and 2 and get out of option 4 unless they have extremely high margins. And retail stores, option 3 here, still has a place, but you better have low inventory commitments, high traffic, or be able to sell into partners who have the same. Otherwise, if you're selling the traditional way, one of these other models will outcompete you. Let's talk about the first option, consumer to manufacturer. This option starts with a network of manufacturers who can make low minimum order quantities or MOQs. Then use demand signals on your own website and advertising funnel to gain insight into consumer preferences. Collect those preferences in your data infrastructure and then use those preferences to manufacture the smallest amount of MOQs possible. Then put those products on your website, ship them directly to the consumer from as close to the factory as possible. Then you repeat that and replace larger orders as the demand increases, but not before. Obviously, this does not yet work for heavy products because shipping air freight from your manufacturing facility likely doesn't work that way. Option 2 is just a marketplace model. Simply own nothing, generate the demand, but someone else fulfill it. Retail is only the vehicle. How do you make money? High margin services like advertising, subscriptions, fulfillment, insurance, and other financial services are your revenue model. Option 3 here is high traffic retail. Obviously, good retail is still valuable. Every consumer intuitively knows this. Consumers need help making decisions and they value experience and great service. You better have brand names or be able to develop your own brand names. And you better have low inventory levels and be able to reorder quickly, or else one of these other options, 1 and 2 models, will beat you because they're able to manufacture or ship in small batches. And by the way, if you can't create the foot traffic, you're already dead. Option 4 is what I call buy and pray DTC. In this option, by the way, a lot of people are doing business this way. You guess or, quote, forecast what the consumer might want. You then guess how many to manufacture. Then you put the product on a boat. You store it locally, and then you pray you can create enough demand. In this option, your gross merchandise margins, I think in the long term, better start with an 8. Otherwise, no amount of AI-based forecasting is going to help you. Now a word from our sponsor, Commerce Tools. When a multi-billion dollar beauty brand's e-commerce platform neared the end of its life, the entire business was at risk, including the ability to serve customers. By switching to Commerce Tools and embracing a more flexible mock architecture, the retailer's vision for connecting in-store and personalized shopping experiences became a reality. The brand can now roll out new features within days, securing its position as a modern brand that uses technology to its advantage. If you're being held hostage by your technology platform and your developers have thrown up their hands, tell them to start a free trial at commercetools.com today.
Commerce Tools is thrilled to announce its first ever live event, Elevate, the Global Commerce Summit in Miami Beach, Florida, April 16th to 18th, 2024. This is a one-of-a-kind global meeting place for business leaders and technical professionals across brands, verticals, and regions. By day, you'll engage with a power-packed agenda, including stories from brands like PetSmart, Peloton, Ticketmaster, Ulta Beauty, and Zorro that have adopted a modern approach to commerce, thought leaders debating the future of the industry, and hands-on developer training tracks for both individuals and teams. By night, attend an opening party on the white sands of Miami Beach and an exclusive Havana Nights celebration. Tickets are on sale now at elevate.commercetools.com.
It's that time, friends, for our Investor Minute. We have 5 items on the menu today. First, Vermont Flannel acquires Vermont Teddy Bear. Vermont Flannel, part of USA Brands, has acquired Vermont Teddy Bear's assets for an undisclosed amount. Vermont Teddy Bear sold Pajamagram, Pajama Jeans, and the One For You to an affiliate of Lionel Capital. Adding a teddy bear to pajamas makes sense. Hopefully they get acquired for more than the stuffing inside the bear. Second, logistics company Stored acquires ProPack Logistics. Fulfillment provider Stored has acquired ProPack Logistics, formerly known as Integrated Fulfillment Management Services, IFMS. The acquisition broadens Stored's fulfillment capabilities for omnichannel brands and widens its network in the US and Canada, particularly with regards to temperature-controlled facilities. Third, Full Beauty Brands acquires Dia & Company Marketplace. Full Beauty Brands has acquired Dia & Company, a size-inclusive marketplace, for its undisclosed amount. This is Full Beauty Brands' third acquisition in the size-inclusive sector in the past 12 months. The fact that the amount was undisclosed is usually a good indication that Dia & Company was not a going concern and so needed an acquisition to rescue the business. Fourth, Gather AI raises $17 million in Series A1 funding. Gather AI, an AI-powered warehouse inventory monitoring solution, has raised $17 million in Series A1 funding to invest in its technology to attract new customers. The technology is designed to use drones inside of warehouses in order to track inventory. And finally, shopping social network Flip raises $144 million in Series C funding. Social shopping network Flip raises $144 million in Series C and partnered with App11 to relaunch its brand marketing solution. Is this another marketing platform camouflaged as a social shopping network? Either way, shopping and social media combined seems like something a TikTok shop is designed to kill. And today's final word of the week is cash flow, meaning you either manage your cash flow or you're dead. If you have too much tied in inventory, it's time to let it go. And a lot of companies, for them to transform, it begins and ends with your balance sheet. Stop thinking about how to market the inventory you happen to have and start thinking about how to buy smarter against your demand instead. Did you know that RMW Commerce has a brand new podcast? Check out the Watson Weekend for an unfiltered and lively e-commerce chat each week with me, Rick Watson, my co-host, Jess Lisewski, and an array of interesting guests and topics, all focused on e-commerce. You can find the Watson Weekend by searching for it on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube. That's all for this week. Till next time, Watsonians. Hi, I'm Rick Watson, CEO and founder of RMW Commerce Consulting and host of the Watson Weekly Podcast, your essential e-commerce digest. Our production partner for the series is Citizen Race Car. The show is produced by Jose Baez. Production manager, Gabriela Montague. To hear new episodes of the show every Monday morning, subscribe now at rmwcommerce.com/Watson Weekly and wherever you get your podcasts.